Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another reality show hosted by Golden Hawk. Join Golden Hawk as she travels down the rabbit hole exploring many of life's mysteries and adventures. Because here at another reality show, we're not afraid to let our imagination soar and our intuition run wild. So relax, get comfortable, because for the next 2 hours, we're inviting you to open your heart, spread your wings, and fly. And now, here's Golden Hawk.
Hello! Hello, everybody! Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for being here tonight. I am Golden Hawk, host of another reality show here on this lovely December evening. What is it? Today's December 15th. So, yeah, we're coming into the second half of December, which is going to basically lead us right into, you know, the proverbial 2012. Yes, my friends, 2012 is no longer in our future. It is right around the corner. I can't tell you how excited I am about actually living, you know, signing checks and stuff, going 2012. So I want to make an announcement. We have a really big show tonight. I want to make an announcement, though, that on New Year's Eve, Janine and myself are going to be, I believe the show time is going to be from 8 to 10, but that's not a definite yet. I'll find out, because I might be nannying with my little angels, Anya and Sahana, which I'll still be doing the show. But I got to figure out if I'm going to do it early and put them in front of the TV or do it a little later so that they can be asleep already. But the whole thing is that Janine and I are going to be doing the New Year's Eve show, and we're all going to kind of do individually as a group ceremonies that are having the intention to connect ourselves to our I Am presence or our higher selves or our fifth dimensional beings, whatever you want to call it. But I personally am looking at it as it's going to be a marriage ceremony. I'm going to marry my higher self on New Year's Eve. I'm going to write vows to my higher self. I'm picking out a ring. I'm really, really excited about this. And people are welcome to join us on the air. You can read your vows on the air. Now, somebody wrote, and I honor this, somebody wrote that, you know, they want to come to the party, but they don't want to write vows because it's been, this whole lifetime has been about releasing vows and releasing commitments. And I chuckled, and I totally, totally honor that. Whatever makes somebody comfortable. I just want people to be clear that the vows that we're writing are not to anything outside of us. We are not vowing ourselves to an order. We're not vowing ourselves to a being, you know, another human being. We're not vowing ourselves to even God. We are vowing ourselves to be connected to our own essence, our soul, our I Am presence. It's what I believe is happening organically anyways, in my humble opinion. So it's just about kind of aligning ourselves consciously with that connection. But I did want to address that because my beautiful friend Kathy expressed that, and I honor your choices, Kathy. It's just the subtle difference is we're not vowing ourselves to anything outside of ourselves. We're also not vowing ourselves to poverty either. By golly, we are not vowing ourselves to poverty. No. Anyway, so as we get closer to New Year's Eve, I'll be posting stuff on Facebook about that. And if anybody has any questions, you can email me or find me on Facebook. Okay. Now into tonight, I want everybody to know the fabulous and amazing Nancy Ward is with us tonight. She graciously came in as a last-minute guest because I had one of my guests cancel earlier in the week. He didn't mention what happened, but as we all know, stuff is happening around every corner. And there's no predicting this. There's just supporting each other as we go through our unpredictable moments. But the beauty of it is, Nancy's right on time with everything. She has a fabulous website, soultransitions.com. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Not soul. Okay, because I'm on your Vibe Report page. I posted it earlier today. I'm hoping everybody read the Vibe Report because it's right on time. It's about everything we're going to be talking about. And second hour, Nancy, if everything, you know, follows itself smoothly, we'll do a Q&A, you know, from her I Am Presence and her guides. The only thing we ask is that when you guys ask a question, if you can be as precise as possible, have the question kind of already formed in your mind before I click on your phone number, because many people tend to wait, and if we can just be precise, Nancy doesn't need the story behind the question. In her intuitiveness, there's a knowingness. She just needs to know the question. If you want to get deeper into any subject with Nancy, the way to do that, and we'll give you contact information, you would do that off the air. It's just these are kind of a one, maybe two question read, you know, kind of get your toes wet. And if you want to know more, you know, contact Nancy. Nancy's totally available for appointments. So I wanted to say that. Okay, so welcome to the show, Nance.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you. Yeah. So, okay, with all our, you know, with everything that we're talking about and everything that's going on, we are 15 days or 16 days away from the proverbial 2012. And, you know, I know it's all about staying in the now, but your Vibe Report really struck a chord with me on, you know, how there's a lot of fluctuating going on right now. It's like awareness is swinging from one polar opposite, and then it, you know, swings all the way to the other side to the other polar opposite. And in between all that swinging of the pendulum is us integrating. So if you could share, you know, your experience.
I just had this image of myself hanging on the bottom of the pendulum going, it's a three and back and forth. Well, there is that, too.
Okay. I believe I'm on another pendulum screaming at the same high pitch. I love it.
And so I guess, now that I'm there saying that, you know, we can, you know, enjoy the ride, I guess. Although that's sometimes not so easy to do. I had a particularly frustrating day today myself, and it was like the erratic energies and I had this image of, oh, now I'm moving through this really narrow, twisting and turning place, because I'm very visual and I get a lot of inner visions, and that's kind of how today felt. It was, the path I was on was a path of light, but it was, just felt very narrow. It's okay, you know, I think I had a surrender eventually, and I did something really grounding and went out food shopping. So it's
nice, there you go, yeah.
But anyway.
Hey, listen, we're on this pendulum, you know, swinging back and forth, even food shopping can be like, you know, okay, I did that. I really did that. It can be quite an accomplishment, in other words.
Got the vegetables, got, you know, just had eye contact with some people. The little things. Sometimes we might try to do, like I had this thing I wanted to do, and it was like, I have to do this, and it really, maybe the energy wasn't quite there for it, but I plugged through, and it was something creative, and it came out really flat. And so it's I was disappointed, and then cranky, and then the phone kept ringing, and I don't know. So I guess it was that erratic, and at some point I felt myself surrendering into it, and it's like, oh, okay. It's like, what did you say? We talked a little earlier that you said something about being in control and, like, finally realizing that you're not in control. And so
exactly.
Something really freeing about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I want to speak to, first of all, what you were talking about New Year's Eve and, marrying your higher self. And because last week I spent some time with a friend who is has seen a lot of UFOs and has done art shows around that and had conferences. And she has a friend who has a radio show, internet radio show about that. And he has a friend who gets regular physical visitations by an ET who talks to him about the universe. And so I was thinking about that, and I was like, why doesn't that happen to me? You know?
Yeah.
I have an ET, you know, but I do have non-physicals, but I was in that space, and I had this communication, and somebody was saying, well, what would you do if I just appeared right here in front of you right now? And I said, oh, well, I guess I'd freak out. Basically. But I'd get over it, you know. We'd invite you in and we could talk, and it felt like a male thing, and so I had this little fantasy of I have this upstairs deck, and so I'm walking downstairs with this ET that just, you know, appeared behind me so we could sit inside, and I had this vision of this being turning into some scary lizard person when I'm not looking. And so then I'm like, okay, that's interesting. That fear thing, you know, and it's like the fear of the unknown. As no matter how can I describe myself as being in tune or whatever, there's still that element there, and that I was getting
on.
A message.
Thank
that
you for being honest about that.
You know, we're all, we all have that. It's a really deep primal fear. So then I was saying, well, maybe if you were a woman, I'd be a little more comfortable because, you know, basically I wouldn't technically just invite some strange man into my house that I don't even know. And maybe I wouldn't, I don't know, but I'd be more comfortable with a woman. And then I was seeing this sort of misty, smoky, like she would appear first as that and then become more corporeal. And so then I'm communicating with this female, it felt like female being, and I'm like, well, who are you? And she said, I'm you, I'm your future self.
Oh, right.
And it was very beautiful, but then I had to have a little argument, like, well, I'm not really sure about this future, past, and all that stuff, because I think time is not really, it's like an illusion. I think it's all kind of happening at once. And then she said, I'm your expanded self. So I was, you know, I asked her to come to me in a dream then. And so that night I went to sleep, and as I woke up in the morning, right before I woke up, I was seeing this being. She was so beautiful, just like, but innocent and childlike. The innocence was just, oh, it was so amazing. Like love, pure innocence, but not, and childlike, but not in an immature, you know, it was just this purity. And she had, like, her skin had sparkles in it, and it was just, I was just like, so I was thinking and feeling her all day and having a communication with her, and she's telling me that she's me. She's like my expanded self. It's the same thing as my higher self and my soul. And so, although, you know, I think our souls are androgynous, but maybe because I'm female, I was relating to the female thing. So,
Right. It can take on either gender in attributes, you know.
Yeah.
Meaning it can look like a woman, it can look like a man. You know, it's creative like
that. Yeah. but it was more about this innocent feeling and this sweetness. Mm. And I'm like, okay, well, I feel that inside of myself. And then she was talking about how, you know, I want to say we come to this place, so I'm saying I came to this
no,
place.
No, go ahead.
We all did.
Our,
we came here, and we're not able to totally express our the fullness of our being because of, you know, we all have the experience, the constraints of society. We've got this genetic inheritance of fear and, you know, that's our ancestral lineage stuff. We've got I'm sure influences from other lifetimes that our soul is expressing through. And I'm talking about planet Earth expressions. And
right.
So, and it's very dense here. And it, so it, she was really telling me that it's been very difficult for you all to be who you really are. And then we have these other people's belief systems that are programmed into us from the time we first open our eyes, you know. And it's not like we're victims. It's just this is the way it is here. This is part of this this game that we're playing or whatever.
I agree.
And so all of the clearing that we've all been doing for how many years have we been talking about the shift and hearing about the shift? And then, you know, it seems to me like at least, the late mid-90s or that I started hearing that word shift till by
right.
the time that I started writing the Vibe Report in about the year 2000. And then, got to a point where I'm really sick of that word. And a shift was made at some point, I think maybe about 5 years ago, but we're still in this thing anyway. Anyway, also it's been about clearing and clearing what those programs were so that we could be who we are. And so when you talk about marrying your higher self, that's, oh my God, that's where we're at now. It's so perfect because as we've done all this clearing, we're bringing in our soul essence, which is our energetic signature, which is like our fingerprint. Everyone is totally unique. And I think that's a really beautiful ceremony that you're creating.
Oh,
and,
thank you.
I'm not going to be able to be there for it, but I'm embodying that in my own way, so it's right on time what you're doing.
Thank you. I'm honored by your support and you know, I think you'll be with us because I'm going to call you in.
Yeah.
and the beautiful part is, you know, it's the non-physical part of us that we're calling in, and it's almost, you know, it surpasses time, it surpasses space. Nancy's going to be enjoying a lovely New Year's Eve evening with her boyfriend, her first New Year's Eve with her boyfriend. And so just you being in that joy is really, you know, that's a wonderful presence to bring in. Even though I want people to know if they're spending this New Year's alone because, you know, circumstances are, you know, they're in the middle of a dark night of the soul experience, that you do not have to show up to the celebration, only enjoy. If you're, you know, if you're in pain and if, you know, you're feeling loneliness, that's also a very powerful time to call in your I am self, your higher self, your I am presence, your soul.
You guys all know me. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm interrupting.
No, please.
Well, okay, as you were saying that, I just want to offer, like I just felt this energy of love coming out of me.
Let's play with each other like that, yeah.
All those people who are in those other spaces that may be lonely or something, because, I've certainly been there for many years myself. So if anybody's in that place, that, you know, there's support and prayers out there for all the people in the world who are feeling alone, because that's another thing. We really aren't alone as far as
right.
Being connected in this human being that we're each a cell of. We're each an individual cell in this human being, this consciousness. And
yeah.
And so that's what I wrote about in the Vibe Report of December. that kind of connection that we're connected, and that's not the same as having someone with you physically, but it's just as real, and that we can really support each other. We can totally support each other energetically, and we do support each other energetically that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and 'cause I love it. The integration work, that's when you look, it transforms being alone to all one. You know how that the word, how it breaks up, you know, Neil Donald Walsh does that a lot, you know, with the looking at words from new perspectives. The integration work, and the truth is, in my humble opinion anyways, this is happening anyways. The planet is unifying. The cycle is coming to the unification part of the cycle. We have been on a dissension for, you know, thousands upon thousands of years. And the cycle is now that we're gathering the pieces of those experiences. When we went on the dissension, we separated. We went into timelines, we went into dimensional pockets, we hid parts of ourselves, we experienced what it was like to be separate, not from a truth, but from a perceptual space. We experienced it only through the illusion, which totally feels real. I mean, you know, I love when people say, oh, the third dimension is just an illusion. Well, but it can kill you. I mean, if it's an illusion that can kill you, then it's important to be clear on what it means to be an illusion. Okay, the illusion is that we've never been separated from our soul, but in this dimension we have experienced what it would be like if we were. And that's a point. We came here to experience what it would be like if we were separate, because no place else in all of the cosmos and in all of the universe can we experience what it's like to be not connected. And because for me, connection for me is, I'm connected to the planet and I'm connected to my soul. But, you know, that whole, you know, the whole like new age thing where, you know, we're all going to become homogeneously one, you know, like, in other words, what the rest of the world is doing is going, you know, like, I can't ascend until the whole world ascends. I'll be honest, that is not my belief system. I'm ascending. I am going to unify my way out of the third dimension back into the fifth dimension. Now, everybody has the opportunity to do this, but not everybody is going to choose to do that at this point in time, and that's in divine order. Everybody is a divine being, whether they are choosing unification or continued separation or the illusion of separation. But the reason why I'm, you know, and I emphasize that only because there's a lot of speakers out there that are like, you know, you got to be with the group. You know, this is a group experience, and I feel I support everybody whose choice it is to ascend by my ascension alone. But if the group, you know, if there's people in my life, family, or, you know, people, employer, you know, people I work with or whatever, if they're not choosing to ascend, that will not stop me from doing it. Which is, again, why I emphasize this is a marriage that you yourself are going to choose if you want to do this or not. And if you choose it, you know, well, we'll have a platform for everybody to, you can share your vows or whatever speech you want to say to your soul. We're going to share in the celebration. And of course, you know, inevitably, I would imagine maybe we'll even do a show later on, you know, people can share the experiences that have come since their commitment to integrating with their I Am presence and their soul. Because, Nancy, as I'm sure you know, when you choose to integrate, your life changes you know, in a big kind of way. Can you share any integration stories or experiences?
Well, a couple of things remind me to do that, but some things were highlighted from what you just said.
Please, exactly. Okay, Janine does the same thing, so that's let's do that. I love it. Yes.
So when you were talking about that homogenous whole thing,
and
I remember when I first had my awakening, I was downloading so much information. I didn't know what was going on inside of me. I thought I was going crazy. Well, losing your mind is not necessarily a bad thing, but
there
was this oneness, and I was afraid of losing myself, and it's not going to be like this homogenous thing, because we each retain our energetic soul signature.
Yeah.
And that's who we are. And each of us has a vibration to add to that wholeness. So that dissipates any fear or confusion about that. That's how I see it.
I honor that. Right on. Right on.
Yeah. Now I forget what else I was going to say.
It's one of those energetic days.
But that was something that was like, I think that this whole oneness concept has to do with, this work that by Bruce Lipton, who is
Bruce
cell biologist. So he's the one. You know, I was tuning into oneness and how there's strength in numbers, and when I say oneness, I'm not talking about losing our individuality. It's just knowing that we're not separate from one another. And I might have said this last time, that everything, you know, religion, the economy, or like, you know, having to work this 9-to-5 thing, the Gregorian calendar, that all has taken us away from our true nature and our being in rhythm and harmony with the Earth's vibration, which doesn't go in the 9-to-5 cycle. And all of these elements, including religion, has taken us away from our connection to nature and to our own nature. And so I feel like this concept of oneness is bringing us back. Like, instead of being separate, we are co-creating, we're cooperating with each other. That's a healthy environment where there's cooperation and not competition.
Right.
That creates fear. Cooperation creates love and appreciation. And, I don't think it's like what we're learning to be that way with one another. We have to for our to continue being here. I was going to say survival. I don't really so much like that word, but I guess it's, you know, it does communicate what I'm saying, that in order to continue living on this planet, we've got to cooperate with Earth and with each other. And in many ways, we're being, as a species, we're being brought to our knees. And I think we're maybe only at the beginning of what that is, being brought to our knees. So I don't know what's going to happen. I don't really ask my guides what's going to happen. I don't think nobody knows, because this has never been done before, this ascending with the planet like we are.
Right.
And so whatever it is, as we lose certain conveniences and comforts, I think that we're going to be reaching out to one another more and more in this you know, not neediness, but in a, like, becoming a tribe again. And, you know, I think so many people want to live in community and figure out how we could do that. And I know a lot of people around here where I live have been talking about it, but nobody really is able to quite get it happening, because maybe it needs to have money for the land, and then people start arguing about things, and then, I don't want to live with anybody. I can't, you know. But that's where I've seen people go with this. And I just keep hearing, it's not time yet, it's not time yet. And so I feel that whatever may happen, that may seem, it may look scary, but once we're in it, we're going to find a whole new way of being, and it's going to be really beautiful. And and freeing. That's how I see it. But we may go through some dark nights of the soul before we get to that place. And I thought it was really interesting. I saw that Time Magazine Person of the Year is the protester.
I know,
and
huh?
That's what's happening now. And they all go back to that
it's
man
in Tanzania.
It's an archetype.
An archetype is Person
and
of the Year.
Global.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was a very androgynous photograph. Well, because the person's face was kind of covered, but it was like that could be that's anybody. Oh,
yeah.
And so I don't have that magazine, but I just saw that.
Yeah, nor do I. Yeah, exactly.
Been talking about that on Facebook, and and so
it's our newsroom. But it is our newsroom, and you know what? I'll take news from people any day over news from a scripted, you know, news person, you know, that
smiling,
is trying
happy
to still
face.
Play the bias game. Yeah.
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 So
yeah.
Anyway, so, So the protester. Yeah. And so that then makes me think of John Lennon, Power to the People. And, you know, he's one of our heroes to me anyway. And I had a friend who went down to Occupy Wall Street. I haven't been down there, but
I haven't either.
She's there in
I want
September.
To go, and then I don't want to go. Yeah, I don't know
yeah.
what it is.
But she was there when it was warmer, and she took tons of photos. And I was looking through, you know, she had her camera, and I'm scrolling through her pictures. And there was an altar set up there. And on the altar was a picture of John and Yoko. And I just, I don't know, that just brought tears to my eyes because, you know, I come from that era, and they were icons. They were human beings, and maybe were kind of a little full of themselves at times, but their message and their intention was really pretty clear. And, you know, that's what I think, well, that they were on that altar. It just speaks to this kind of timeline sort of circling back to what was happening in
yeah,
the 60s.
Yeah, right.
Everyone's
on.
Invited to this party. Like, there's no generation gap technically there. I don't want there to be. And if anybody starts to bring up something that's like about young against older, it's like, no. It's all of us. All of us in different ways are being affected by this, you know, the greed of the world and all the secrecy that things that the government people know about that we don't, but we suspect. And it's like, I really hope that that things just really open up in that way, so we learn about the truth of humanity, our origins, what's influenced us, and I don't know, a lot of whatever else is going on, extraterrestrials, and well, you know what I'm what do, what,
oh,
what else?
Totally. And it's interesting because, like, what triggers for me when you say that is like, well, I know so many people that are, well, they're afraid to know the truth. You know, it's like they have built their lives based on the reality that is, in my humble opinion, coming to a close.
And they want to support that paradigm. They don't
like,
want it to change.
To death's end, you know. Like, you know, it's like because I live in a very financially prosperous area. So clearly, I'm not. But the people that live here, they don't want to know about the balancing of the world's economy, so that, you know, like ultimately, 85% of the resources have been utilized by 15% of the population, and 85% of the population had to utilize what was left of the 15% of the resources. In other words, a lot of people had to use a little bit of resources, and a little bit of people were using a lot of resources, and the little bit of people happens to be in the neighborhoods that I live and work in, and they don't want to know that, you know, Africa and India and Pakistan or whatever, these places are going to be dramatically affected by the changes going on, as much as you know, the Beverly Hills and the Fairfield counties are going to be dramatically affected. They just know, you know, I went to school. I've been, they're good people, but, you know, they're like, you know, I don't deserve this collapse. And it's like, well, you know, I mean, neither do the other 85% of the population, you know, who never even really had a chance, because if you didn't grow up in America, you're not even, you don't even have, you know, access to a lot of the things, because, you know, there's so much corruption and everything. It's just interesting, because I have this argument with my father a lot. And ironically, the nanny family that I'm still, you know, picking up some work in, they're from India. The parents are from India. And the father actually told me he grew up very much like Slumlord Millionaires, that movie Slumlord Millionaires. So there's a humility in the father. And I mean, this guy's making, you know, I don't know how much, but I'm telling you, my humble opinion, it's like $300,000-$400,000 a year. And yet, there is an understand. I believe out of everybody I've worked, you know, with in Fairfield County, my father included, my brother, if they were to lose stuff, Anya and Sahana's parents, I try not to use their name to keep privacy, but their parents, the father, he'll be okay. Like, I mean, I think he enjoys his wealth. But there's a presence in him and a calmness in him that he'll be very upset, you know, if everything starts collapsing. But his presence, because of how he grew up in such desolation and poverty, that he'll bring that to the table and be able to you know, adapt to maybe a more balanced situation. Because it's funny, out of everybody, whenever the power goes out all around us, because I live 5 minutes away from this family, we all end up at their house. I mean, the people in Wilton, the people in Norwalk, and he loves it. The wife is like, oh, there's so many people here, you know, I kind of just want to relax. And the husband's like breaking out wine from the wine cellar, cooking up a meal. I mean, he really, you know, that whole saying, making lemons out of lemonade, he really does. And I think that's kind of what all of us have to go through. We have to recognize it. The paradigm is shifting. You know, it's no longer, because, like, that's what I'm kind of getting in my own head, that this isn't about building my resume anymore. This is about building my connection with my soul, because that is going to be what is necessary in the upcoming weeks, months, and years. If you know, because I don't know if in my belief system, I don't have us staying on planet Earth as in this dimension. My journey will end by 2013, and not in, you know, and because an asteroid is going to nail the planet, it's just I'll be in the fifth dimension by 2013. And at that point, I don't have intestines. I don't have ovaries. I don't have seven chakras. I only got one. You know what I'm saying? Did you ever read The Return to Shambhala by who's the guy who did the Insight books?
Oh,
Red. I can't think of his name right now.
Redfield.
What is it? Redfield. Right on.
James Redfield.
Yeah, James Redfield. His third book was Return to Shambhala, which is essentially, he describes the fifth dimension, where everything is created through an energetic focus and things can shift. You know, we can choose to wake up one day and be male. We can choose to wake up the next day. It doesn't even wake up. I mean, everything will be much more fluid in our physical experience, because we're living on light. You know, we really are totally and wholly functioning from our light bodies. And when that's the case, the whole planet will take on a new space, because in this light body, we couldn't, you know, animals are killing each other to feed off of each other. Plants are, you know, fighting for sunlight. You know, there's a lot of, you know, battling going on, not just in the human kingdom, but, you know, you can see it in nature. And if we're all going to ascend, nature must, you know, I know in my heart, nature is going to ascend too, because it just wouldn't make sense for us to become beings of light and not needing to feed off of anything, but the lions and the tigers are still, you know, mauling the zebra.
Well,
you know,
said
to get,
the lion will lie down with the lamb.
Right.
You know, you've heard
right.
that, and David Icke, you know, I-C-K-E, post. Yeah, so, you know, he's a controversial guy, and he's, but he has some very interesting things to say, and he spoke about that. I saw an interview with him, and he said that there's not as much energy as there used to be here on this planet, and for that matter, there's not as much oxygen as there used to be either. But as far as
the oxygen, I knew about. I didn't know about the energy, though. Interesting.
Yeah, and that there was a time where that's how we lived off as energy, and I think he attributes it to around the time of the fall of Atlantis, where everything it kind of like went upside down, and.
Yeah.
Animals had to eat. It's like a killing field out there, he said. It's like everything's
exactly.
eating everything else. And
exactly.
it's, you know, it's...
That's not enlightenment.
No. No, it's fear and it's desperation and it's... But it's also sort of like certain animals eat other animals, and I think there's a relationship in that that can be...
I agree.
...considered
yes.
to be... quite beautiful and transformative. We're all transforming the
yeah.
through that process. It's a process of transformation, and you know, as whatever we eat, we put in our body, and it becomes us. And I sometimes remember to sort of think about that when I'm eating, like fish or even chicken or something. Like, you know, oh, thank
right.
you for. For now, you, I will invite you to become part of me and live through me. I don't always remember.
Oh, wow. I like that, Nancy.
Kind of nice. Yeah.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Yeah, I think that actually
yeah.
touches on that's the macro. What you just said, we do that on the macrocosm in the sense of, what most of us don't realize is we're not just human beings. We're also planets and stars and universes ourselves. You know, I mean, meaning there's aspects of us that manifest as the macro as much as the micro. And what you just said about now come and experience what it's like through me, that's exactly what we do when we visit other people's planets. Like, we're experiencing Earth by living on her and eating her food and breathing her air and drinking her water, so we can understand the paradigm of light. That's what this
yeah.
universe is. You know, so that's right on. That's right
but
on.
But I also think that you know, we've come here to be here at this particular time to make that to bring the light here and to shift it to shift where this is heading. And I feel sometimes I get this hit that we are actually from the future coming back
yeah.
to be
yeah.
born here at this, like after World War II, after the atomic bomb was exploded, that sent out waves through the universe of like that could affect many other planetary systems.
Yeah.
And I don't really know a lot about that, but I'm just getting that, and that so we when I tuned into my expanded self, and she said I'm your future self. She was trying to speak in the terms of 3D, but you know, on a bigger level, I understand that, and that maybe so I'm from the future, you're from the future in a way, and I think that probably a lot of the ETs that have been cited here are from some, for lack of a better way to explain it, future, you know, even though I already said I don't really believe it works like that, but another, I don't want to confuse things, but I might be.
We tried to describe the unknown on Monday. Listen, we can't confuse things.
I think I've got smoke coming out of my ears right now, but...
I love it.
But anyway, that there's some kind of alert that went out, and that so beings from the future have come here to make a shift now. It's very crucial now in this timeline to bring about more awareness and conscious. It's this conscious evolution that we're in, and that brings me back around to the human being as being this great and vast organism that we are part of, and we're all connected to that. And that's what I that is something that I wrote about in the Vibe Report, about a dream that I had where, you know, I felt like I was inside some kind of organism and seeing all these white circles floating by on this membrane, and then these black lines, and they were moving across.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It was very kind of psychedelic, and I'm like observing that, and then as I look closer at the circles, I see each one is a person, and I, as they passed, I could see their faces and feel their energy, their energetic vibration, that, you know, that signature. And something shifted, and we connected somehow. Everybody was wanting to make a connection to be, and that's back to the oneness, I can't even put words to it, but the connection was made. It was a success. And when I woke up out of that dream, it was like there was the celebration, like we did it. And, you know, so I don't know if I feel that differently, but I know it happened, and I think it's just like a deeper awareness, and I keep getting this, you know, all the people I talk to, they're part of me, and that's kind of hard.
Right on, yes.
Sort of practicing that, I'm looking, okay, and, you know, when I deal with people, and I also know that many of us people are talking about they want to meet their people that come from, like someone yesterday said to me that we all came here in clusters and then went out to wherever we ended up to do our work. And he's like, I want to meet people from my cluster. And it's like, and they want to meet you. And here we are sitting in a room together. So maybe we're from that cluster. And, you know, it could be somebody that you just pass by in the street and smile at, or it could be somebody that you're going to have a deeper connection with. But, you know, it's all, if you want it, it'll happen. And I think it is happening, and that there's going to be meetings gathering together. And that's part of this, the tribes coming back together. And eventually we're going to be, I see us living like in sort of like in pods, you know, like, isn't that what they call it when the dolphins travel in pods?
The dolphins and the whales, yeah.
But we're going to be living that way, and we're going to be creating these energetic structures around our towns, I think. I don't think it'll be as big as cities. It'll be more like maybe communes or something, living in cooperation with one another and with the earth. That's the future that I see for us that feels really beautiful. And I don't know about in the body, the light body, the fifth dimension. I know that we are developing our light bodies, and even just by whatever it is we're doing to create higher consciousness within ourselves. And I know, like, people like Tom Kenyon, he talks about developing, that he calls it the Ka, K-A, Ka body. And so there are conscious exercises to do with that. I don't practice that. I've tried, and I kind of can't keep the focus, so I just have to trust that I'm doing it my own way.
That's another really, in my humble opinion, very connected, infinite trust that this, you do not have to create this from your mind in order to ascend. You are, all of us are ascending, and if anything, I have found from my own personal experience, the more I think about it, the more I screw things up. Because in my thinking, am I doing it right? Am I doing it wrong? That's all energy that is like, listen, I am ascending. I don't need a technique. And I'm not saying if you enjoy techniques because they bring you joy, do techniques. But it's not like, oh, I can't afford this technique, I'm never going to ascend. It's like, of course you're going to ascend. The planet is ascending. Both of those statements I have lived, you know, where... Or I had a teacher once that locked me out of the me and like four other people, we came back from lunch late during a workshop, and we got locked out of the major transmission of the weekend. And I mean, I was pacing back and forth. It was in Sedona. Oh my God, I'm not going to ascend. What am I going to do? I'm not going to ascend. You know, and it's like, I'm so not that person today because nothing
outside
of me.
You got locked out because you were late?
Yeah, this guy was a prick. I would say his name, but I've got too much class. I won't even promote him by saying his name.
I'll get it out of you later.
Yeah, I will be happy to share with you offline. And,
no, but
you know,
I mean,
if anybody wants to know, you can face. I mean, you know, it's just, it was just, it was something I needed to experience because, in my humble opinion, a lot of what has to do with this whole ascension is, what we first realize is we go down a timeline, so to speak, that's not going to help us ascend. But once we get that clarity of what's not going to work, we are so clear on what is. And ironically, what is sheer beingness. Like,
yeah, and
we don't have
all
to earn
the mind
it.
Of trying. Yeah, it's the being.
Right, we just are ascending. Yeah, there's nothing, but you know, we've been human doings for a while. You know, we keep calling ourselves human beings. No, we're coming into human beings. We've been human doings, so does it surprise me that, you know, out of the last 16 years of my awakening, 15 years and 9 months I've been doing? No, that does not surprise me. And yet, in the last 3 months, I have gained more clarity in my beingness. And, you know, I mean, I have burned thousands of dollars worth of books that have, you know, techniques and build this thing and ceremonies from the sense of, you know, place this paper here, say this prayer there, put this, you know, telling me what to do. And I have released all of that. I have released any teacher that tells me I have to go through them or through their paradigm. I honor, you know, their stuff, but I'm going through Goldie's paradigm because it's my ascension. That's all. All I need is me and every aspect of me that feels separate from me to come on home. I got the candle in the window. I'm willing to experience any of the emotions and or memories that these aspects of me feel ashamed of, feel disgusted, anything, you know, sad, angry. All I do is continue to open my door, welcome the aspects to come back home, because we're going to do this together from the sense of my experiences, my timelines, my aspects. And we're going to do it alongside you and alongside Janine and alongside Simon. I mean, there are other beings in my life that are doing it from a sovereign point of view. So, like you were saying, I agree. We are going to live in communities where we share, like, we share our beliefs and we share our intentions. But there, you know, there are communities. I don't even want to talk about the ones that I don't resonate with. I like the idea that I found two people, a gentleman across the street. And a woman who lives basically right next door to one of the woods that I go to. And there, I found kindred spirits in both of them. I mean, just a total, I mean, me and Punky, this woman, Punky Spelt, who I met when I locked my keys in my car, and she helped me, you know, basically undo that situation. And we talked for the first time yesterday or the day before. Well, I don't remember, but... But the conversation was like, oh, my God, I've known this woman forever. You know, we just immediately went into dark night of the soul situations, transformation situations, integration situations, and I felt an immediate trust. I felt an immediate bond. We did not need time to establish our connection, our soul's connection. It was shimmering immediately. It was just
That's
shimmering
one of
those, in us. And
when
yeah,
you're
it was really.
People, I guess.
Pardon?
That's one of your cluster people.
Exactly.
Like I was saying before.
It's so funny. You know the
like
word
we
I'm thinking of when you say cluster,
other.
Right? I mean, it's so
I know,
funny.
I know.
Okay. Okay. Okay, as long as you get that. I'm giggling over it. Anyways, yes, she is a cluster person for me. Indeed. Indeed. And but I this is just, you know, this is most of my cluster lives around the world, and I only know them through the phone. This mm-hmm. is very new that I actually physically yeah. have met somebody that I feel that kind of connection with in my physical space. Mm. So that is, I've taken notice of that.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
But, you know, I want to say something, though, about, like, tools that people are offering out there. Like, I mentioned
please.
Tom Kenyon.
Please.
And he has this vibrational healing music. And
yes.
He talks about the pineal gland. And, you know, it's worth looking into because it is helpful, and you know, so I mean, I don't want to, I don't know, like discount any tools that are being
made available.
You speak your
truth. Listen, we're allowed to be in different spaces. I never want you to feel that you can't speak your truth. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
Yes, I welcome your truth,
I've
Nancy.
I've tried some things, and it's
me
like,
too.
But I,
me too.
I find
yeah.
that I don't, maybe I don't stick with it, or it's like I forget about it, and I guess I feel when I forget about something that. Maybe I'm done with it. That's all, you know. But it's
yeah,
helpful
yeah.
for a while, and then we move on, or we find it within us, and or it's good to revisit because maybe I, you know, maybe I just got busy with life and forgot to tune into that particular thing or something. So I mean, because there's so much, there's a lot of really good things happening, good offerings out there. So. Whatever, you know, whatever anybody's drawn to, you know, you follow the energy that feels
absolutely.
Good and exciting and expansive. And I guess that goes with everything that we do. I always get that message, follow the energy. That's
yeah.
our path. That
yeah.
energy that feels like fun, you know, it's not work, it's fun, you know. Oh, I want
yeah.
to you know, get to this.
Yeah.
So.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. I do. Because techniques that are fun are just, they're not, it's not the end all to be all. I think it's when we make a technique the only thing that's going to get us to our destination that we've, in my humble
yeah, then,
opinion, when I, and I'll just speak of it from, that's when I know I was going in a direction I thought was headed towards ascension, but in my humble opinion, it was taking me farther from ascension because it's not done through the mind. It is ascension is not a technique. It's an allowing, and it's a sensorial and a feeling experience, not a calculated logical experience. This is not rational. Rationality does not play a part in this, even though it does in the bigger circle. It will make sense, but in the initial process, most of the choices I've started to make to support my ascension are illogical. Shit, they're downright crazy, you know, to the average person. Where, you know, to me, it's like, no, I get it. Right, this is about, like, at this point, I was speaking with Nancy earlier before the show. I can't make money working anymore. I can only do it through things that bring me joy, because I can't. It won't manifest if I'm not in joy. I can't just manifest money anymore, you know, by putting up with something for 8 hours and going, okay, listen, it sucks now, but I'll be done, and then I'll be no. It won't manifest for me like that. If I really enjoy it, then it's there. If I don't really enjoy it. At this point in time, it will not manifest, and I'm not beating myself up for that. I'm simply recognizing, okay, well, so what brings you joy? Start getting creative, you know, because it would appear that's where the soul is guiding me to put my energy, to put my focus, not in the usual, oh, listen, I'll just put up with this for, you know, a couple hours, you know what I'm saying?
And I feel like a lot of people are being triggered by that right now, because there is, you know, this, well, we need to pay our bills, and we need, you know, we're kind of in that matrix. Like, yeah, we all have to pay our way here so far.
Right.
And that's where it gets sticky. It's like...
Well, right. Well, the pay our way, though, is... If it's not in soul alignment, I mean... That it's not a precedent, at least.
Right, and then it's not like go quit your job, but it's like find what it is that gives you that feeling and begin to develop it. And maybe you can find it in the position that you're in right now by looking at it in a different way, because you're in relationship with all these different people that you're going to this job. Like, if you're at a job 8 hours a day, sometimes even more, you see those people more than you see your family, you know? It's like you're in relationship with them, and so that's where you begin. That's where you do the work. That's where influence each other, bounce off each other. You do your growing together. Guess what? You're with your soulmates. You know, everyone talks about the soulmates. Like, soulmates are the ones that may just, you know, be the sandpaper that burnishes and helps to form, you know, but it doesn't feel very good. So, you know, they're the people that you work with because they trigger you, and it's like you're doing your work there if you're paying attention to that. Because another thing that we are, when we talk about ascension or being, you know, living in these future communities, we are not in codependent relationships in those places, in that evolved place, not codependency. And so if you're in a job that you have trouble going to, but you need to stay there for now, it's like time to start clearing out those energies of the codependent relationships. And that's where your work is then, you know?
Right. Well, I get the sense right now, there seems to be a wakening up where everybody's kind of got this sense, like there's a general consensus in the third dimension from what I've seen and witnessed, that nobody wants anybody dependent on them. And I'm not talking children. I mean, in relationship, codependent relationship seems to be the first of the breaking down of relationships. Like, they're just clearly not working. I have some friends, you know, they're like, you know, I just need my space. And I'm like, everybody kind of has this sense where we need our own space. And I really believe it's the soul within us that's guiding us to that. It's no longer, the answer is no longer in the person outside of us. The answer is found within. And, you know, so that's when all of a sudden being quiet and being still has more value than running around, you know, passing out flyers to try and get people to come to, you know, the workshop. You know, there's like a frenetic energy of, you know, I got to create. And it's like, because the soul magnetizes. The soul says, don't chase. And these are all my words from my experiences. So, you know, I'm not trying to push them on anybody, just to express, you know, like it's very interesting. I basically, with the radio show, you know, I have about 25 to 30 people a week per episode, you know, for Monday night's shows and tonight's shows. But here's an interesting thing. All of a sudden, Blog Talk Radio has started sending this weekly statistic of what's going on with my radio show. And, well, lo and behold, I have, like, on average, 300 to 500 hits on my whole, everything that's here. I mean, I honestly was like, I'm like, you know, okay, well, you know, we've got 30 people, I'm fine. If it's 30 people that are genuinely, you know, committed to their own personal ascension and their own personal awakening, I think that's outstanding. But all of a sudden recently I realized, well, there's a lot more people tuning in to what I'm sharing and what my guests are sharing, what the message that I'm sharing. And I was like, I didn't know that. And it was funny because I was like, okay, now that you know, now how do you feel? I was like, I mean, and now I was like, well, the whole idea of sponsorship and that kind of stuff, it was like, oh, these are the kind of numbers, you know, 400 people a week, that's pretty good numbers for somebody if, you know, has maybe a, you know, an entrepreneur who has their own business. They could see that as, you know, that's a nice little thing. But what was interesting was that was happening. I didn't even know it. You know what I'm saying? It seems, you know, that's why it's like I can't trust anything except my feelings in the moment, especially when it has anything to do with the building of a business. And this is, again, just me, the building of my business or trying to find a job. You know, I mean, I'm still on care.com answering ads for nanny gigs because if my soul doesn't want me to nanny anymore, unless I actually see a billboard as I'm driving by going, don't nanny, I mean, it's what I know. So I get that I'm not getting the jobs and I'm okay with the rejection because of my connection with my soul. But it's so hard to explain all of this because I just keep opening up. Well, I'm open to the radio, you know, making a living doing that. I'm open to doing, like you do, you know, energy work or, you know, a mentoring of some kind to help people understand maybe, you know, a little bit what's happening right now from my point of view. Not that I know totally what's going on, but I know I'm not in a fearful state all the time. And I know there are people that are in a fearful state. So I can certainly offer I can offer advice on, well, get out in nature. You know, that is one of my, you know, my biggest things I tell people. Connect with the earth, because if there's any being on the planet, in the planet, as the planet that knows what's going on, in my humble opinion, it's her. And she'll speak to you as much. She's not prejudiced. Anybody who's, you know, consciously choosing to connect with her kind of will have, you know, just a sense that without even knowing it, you know all is well. You know, it's so paradoxical. It really is. It's just so paradoxical. I scratch my head right now. It's like Yogi Bear and Boo Boo. I don't know, Boo Boo. Where's the picnic basket? I need food.
Yeah. Back to the basics. Back to that food
Back
thing.
Back to the basics. The exactly. Thing. Yeah.
So as far as we were talking about integration before.
Okay.
I just remembered. Remember
okay.
when I didn't remember what I... It was. It had
yeah.
to do with...
Yeah.
You were talking about integration, and that's... That came up last night in this group gathering that I did, that the guides, the vastness of being, were saying that, you know, a lot of times we'll do this energy work where we're calling in, you know, higher vibrations and bringing it through into our energy fields, which is, you know, our physical body, then our emotional body, then mental body, and then spirit body out that's like our aura. And
yep.
So we're bringing this energy through, and it's helping to like clear and release. That's been something that I've used a lot, clear and release any density or energies that we no longer need. And it's come to my attention that, maybe that is what was happening then, or that the higher vibrational energy will highlight what is dense within us, what needs to be cleared. And we don't really clear it and just release it. It feels more like we need to look at it. If something is coming up in our lives that's painful, or that, you know, is a feeling that we, you know, that doesn't feel in harmony,
yeah.
that's something that we need to really either, let's see, a lot of times these are old feelings that are coming up and just passing through. It's like they're surfacing because of this higher energy, and it's best to just let it keep going. We hold
yeah.
on to it and examine it, then we're keeping it alive there. But there's this other essence in that process that it's not what's happened. What I'm seeing in my inner vision is that it will start to send the sparkling energy. Like I was seeing it as these blocks of
like blocks of darkness that the sparkling energy starts to go into and sparkle. You know, it reminds me of those charcoals when you're going to light an incense, you know, that...
Oh, the black charcoal part? Yeah.
Yeah, and when you hold a match to it, then it starts sparking inside
sparkling.
Of it. Then,
yeah.
So it's kind of like that, and then it becomes... It like releases and then we integrate it more than like letting it go. It's sort of that's how I see it integrating, and
right
it turns
on.
Into wisdom. It used to be that, you know, we send it down into the center of the earth, and the earth is a great composter, and it turns into wisdom. And then I started to question, well, the earth is going through something too, like. Does she really need us sending our stuff down in there? And on one level, I get it's okay. But on the other level, on whatever level, but then I just started seeing it
in
different ways.
No, go with what you're saying. I think it's brilliant. Please, yes, go with it. Exactly.
That maybe both things are happening. So not to feel guilty about the earth, but although now it seems more like let us just hold it within us, contain whatever this is that we want to transform and allow this light of higher vibration, which carries love, to begin to sparkle and spark inside of whatever that density is, and with a prayer that we come to an understanding or forgiveness, or, you know, able to love that part of ourselves or whatever it is. A lot of times it has to do with other people, maybe the people who raised us or influenced us in our lives. Those are our soulmates with the sandpaper, you know. So then we get to this understanding of, there's so much wisdom, and I'm not a victim. I needed to have that experience in order to become whole with myself.
Exactly.
And that's how, you know, we embody that our expanded self. And so it happens within us, and we contain it and integrate it that way.
Yeah.
And in the same process, then send that, what is it, like the continue to send that higher vibrational energy into the earth, and that the earth can undergo this process too, because, you know, just like we haven't, in some ways, it's been very hard for us to be able to be who we really are here mm-hmm. because of these influences. The Earth has had the same issues. I mean,
exactly.
You know, we had this big hurricane that came through here this summer, and it actually changed the waterways. And now they've got the machines out, and they're putting the waterways back to where they used to be because the bridges are there, and you know, or just paving over and building buildings, and that's just like now the earth can't breathe in that area where that highway is or where, you know.
Yeah.
And so the earth is a reflection of what we're going through as well. It always has been. We assist the earth assists us. This is a beautiful thing too, because the elements that are in the earth, the water, the minerals, the air, all of that is in our bodies. The fire, it's all in our physical bodies.
Yes.
And I think I talked about this last time that you know,
it's
we're
okay.
This consciousness.
Listen, around here we repeat ourselves.
Okay, good. Good. Repetition
is totally,
good.
Totally.
It's a reminder.
Yeah.
That, you know, then so our consciousness is in this body that we're sharing with all these microbes and also with the elemental energies of the earth. So we're in alignment with the earth in that way when we think of that. And the more love that we embody with ourselves, loving ourselves, I'm talking about, so we're offering love to those elemental energies that also exist in the earth. And
microcosm, macrocosm.
All of these aspects that were unrecognized, and now we're recognizing them, and that, you know, when we go out into nature, we have an opportunity to just be with that too, and just, you know, to say, I see you to the tree.
Mm. Right on.
For real, you know, because
yeah.
Those elemental energies have been receding, and it's like, you know, there's still, the stuff is still happening. I mean, the whole, the hydro fracking, oh, that's a big thing around here. You know, I'm sure you hear of that in Connecticut.
I've heard
where
of it.
What
is that? What is
They... Okay, I'm probably not going to describe it totally correctly, but they use these chemicals to fracture this shale, because underneath the shale is the natural gas.
Oh,
but what
okay.
it does, it's very polluting. I mean, there are these towns where this has happened, where if they turn on their water faucet and they hold a lighter to it, flames come out of the water faucet. There's a movie that came out. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And they're still
wow.
pushing for that, for natural gas.
Wow.
And really, what the thing is that, you know, Tesla came up with these experiments with free energy that we could tap into with these different machines. And they're being invented, and then the inventors are being disappeared. And,
yeah,
you know, it's really happening, and it's still happening. And so those inventions are what, I mean, could you imagine if we didn't have to pay for electricity or to heat our homes, how different our lives would be?
Yeah, well, we would all have the freedom to be sovereign.
Yeah, and the lives of some of those 1%ers would be very different too. But I mean, how much
exactly.
money do you need? It becomes about power. So that's
exactly.
a whole other thing.
Exactly.
So we need to, and that's a gift from the earth. This is like, I mean, it's, you know, the northern lights, that's energy that's flowing around the earth that I'm not liking any of this language, harnessed or utilized or used, but it's those are the words that we have, and that is, yeah, because being in co-creation with the earth, this is like...
Right, right, where nothing
the
has
to
suffer
to
because of it. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I get that, yes.
And,
yes.
and so I think
And I bet
that
we do have new language when we start utilizing that. It will be new language, because I understand what you're saying. The harness sounds like there's still control. You know, we're still, you know, saying, well, we're the humans, and we're going to, you know... We decide this. You know, it's like there needs to be a harmony between the energy, the planet, and the people, all working congruently with each other, because, I mean, that's a synergy, and we're totally capable of doing that. And I do believe we're coming to the space where it is like the Teslas and the inventors of these experiences, like hydro cars and, you know.
Yeah.
That it's gonna have a place to express itself. I do believe that, as you know, I express energy coming out of my belly. I mean, I literally am moving energy right now.
Yeah. Now, if we could use that energy to.
Boy, we could just bottle belches.
Yeah.
To get back and forth to the grocery store, how wonderful would that be?
Well, there was this artist named Hundertwasser, who is German, I think. Well, it sounds like
okay.
a German name, but
yeah, it does
but
sound
he
German.
And I think this was like in the maybe around the 1930s, and he created his home where he recycled his he recycled everything. He used his own shit to heat the house, you know. I mean, he had it all worked out.
Wow.
And this was
nice.
Yeah. You know, and they thought he was crazy, but he did it. And so anything's possible, and that's, you know,
yeah.
we do
yeah.
I feel like we do have a future. It's just that we need to, you know, the energy, well, it's part of the changes that we're going through. It's that
right.
The occupy, the power to the people, the truth out, like give us the truth about everything, like what I was talking about before.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
You're sweet, Nancy. You remind me of me. That's what it is. It's okay. And I must learn to be more like Janine. If Janine is listening, yes, I must learn, because Janine always knows how to bring like a subject back after, like I'll go on these tangents. But it's because that's, you know, I think that way. That's part of quote unquote my charm. Part of your charm. And I'm not saying that you're not focused. It's just we get a little, you know, we drift. And Janine is always right on it to bring. It's like, oh, what were we talking about again? You know, that initial idea. I don't remember.
Yeah.
I know. It's all wonderful though. So don't, you know, we've surrendered. You know, we're just kind of bobbing around and talking about. Because my humble opinion always says, whatever we're addressing, it's because telepathically somebody wants us. You know, somebody has a question about this or was wondering about this, and you know. Our frequency is tapping into it, and the questions are getting answered. So
yeah.
It's all beautiful. Yeah.
And now I'm back to, like you had said, that we wanted to talk about what I wrote in the Vibe Report, and the, one other thing just popped in about this
okay.
kind of stern message that came through back in November, and how I kept hearing the word precipice, and it was like this, how much longer can you continue to be distracted by the stuff of the world, and it was like, you know, stop criticizing each other, stop having these attitudes towards each other. It's like we really need to make this next leap into that responsibility, and
that's
where
it.
we find our innocence as well, you know,
yeah.
because as much as we criticize anybody else, we're even worse on our own selves. And so it always comes back home to
That's true.
What's going on
That's
inside
right on.
Of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess vigilance is required to, like, you know, stop ourselves from, you know, what we were just going to say, like maybe something catty about somebody or the work they do or how, you know, it's like, ooh, wait. Why do
right.
I need to say
right.
that? Ooh. Because I'm feeling insecure inside, and I need to put somebody down so I feel a little better. But it doesn't work. It doesn't work. You know, it's just like it just feels icky, like eating too much sugar or something. It's like, oh, that was an indulgence that, you know, we can't afford to be that way anymore. And I see that with people that I'm noticing that, like, not wanting to talk. You know, what do they say? Trash talk other people.
Right.
So I
have my moments, but I in moments
so
like
I.
where I'm being, pardon?
So do I.
Yeah, no, but I also have my moments where, like, where I'm being triggered by, like, something my father says. I'm very much knowing. That is my subconscious speaking to me, and that is me. Like, if he's saying I don't have value and what I do doesn't have value, I can now, I am choosing now to see that as, okay, I need to focus within myself to find out why I don't feel I have value. And it's not because he's saying it to me, he's saying it to me because there's a part of me that can't be heard until he's saying it to me. In other words, he's showing me what I call the pockets. Like, our soulmates are showing us pockets of ourselves that, you know, when we were growing up, it was a harsh world. You know, many of us, you know, were sensitives, you know, and the world wasn't sensitive. And so there was, you know, painful experiences, there was, you know, humiliation experiences, and, you know, just a lot of dark aspect creations, and the frequencies that are coming through the planet for me are shining light, you know, I'm not interested in having the relationships that just, you know, where somebody's just, I mean, for lack of a better term, kissing my ass and not challenging me. I want to be challenged because every
right.
time I'm challenged,
or,
I integrate the energy, and I'm at the point now where instead of looking for, you know, the roses and the romance, you know, I'm looking for, you know, that that soulful experience. It's like, you know, I've kind of got my soulful armor on going, okay, you know, I'm going in because, you know, I know it's going to be choppy waters. I know it's going to get stormy. I'm not only not afraid of it, I'm honoring it as if my intended goal is 2013 to ascend with Mother Earth, what you were saying about, well, the time is now. Well, I got to stop chasing the dream my ego said was, you know, the dream relationship and follow my soul, because my soul will attract me to the challenging relationships. My key is to allow that attraction to take hold and to be expressed and to be experienced. And then when it is, the integrations that come, it becomes the schooling, you know, just being triggered and responding differently, being triggered and being responsible for everything that's getting triggered. I mean, zero blame, zero. Everything that happens to me is my creation, and I view it and perceive it to be my creation. That's very powerful, as well as very humbleizing. I mean, tremendous amounts of humble pie have to be taken when you take full responsibility of your life. it's a crazy thing, but if the goal is to integrate, if the goal is to gather the pieces back up, that's kind of what's necessary. You need somebody to trigger the pieces so you know that they're there, and then once the trigger happens, you know, the pain comes in, but like, for me, I get the sense that pain feels like a drill, similar to what you were saying earlier in the show. Pain drills out a space, and when the drill removes itself, it fills up with soul.
Mm-hmm.
So pain is not about, you feel pain, the first thing you want to do is get rid of it, get rid of the pain. You know, that's what the whole, you know, sex, drugs, food, and shopping is, you know, can be used for. To get rid of the pain, I need to instantly feel better. I am denying the pain. If we sit with the pain, it alchemizes. And literally, that's the drilling. And when we're done alchemizing, the drill bit kind of removes itself. And by the laws of nature, a vacuum is created. The soul immediately goes into that space. And it's like... And that's where I say the techniques aren't needed. I don't need to build a Merkaba to have that integration happen. I just need to sit with somebody who triggers me and allow it to be responsible, for me to be responsible for it, and then allow it to alchemize my whole system. And it does, which
that's
is
beautiful. That makes me see it as that organic living being that we're in. And
yeah.
So, yeah, we're going to bring to us what we need to clear. We're going to, through our
exactly.
experience.
Yes. Yeah, because the feminine attracts, the masculine chases, so to speak. You know, like, I'm a very masculine being, but it's so funny. I can actually say December 15, 2011, I am nowhere near as masculine as I was a year or more ago, because this process, this organic process of this integration, what I'm integrating is the divine feminine aspects, which are, you know, the true unconditional loving, the true unconditional forgiveness, the where everything has value because the pain has value, the turbulent waters have value. My soulmate is no longer the person that, you know, gives me everything I want without me asking for it. My soulmate is pushing my buttons, taking me into the depths of, you know, emotional despair, and yet coming out changed as much as I am coming out changed. You know, it's hard to when people say to me, how do you know, you know, if you're playing, so to speak, or you're allowing the darkness to transform your life, how do you know it's right? And I can't answer that for anybody else other than it's a trust that I know it is, because I know my soul wouldn't put me someplace that was wasting my time. I'm not wasting time. If I'm not going to be working, quote unquote, at a job making money, well, I'm working interiorly, making soul. And not that you make our soul, but meaning creating more experience of soul in the drilled parts of my being. You know, a broken heart is an open heart. You know, there's shifting going on, and in our conditioned state, we need a lot of shifting. I mean, we've been conditioned and manipulated for thousands upon thousands of years. It's going to be a little uncomfortable to come back into the soulful space, and I think once we're aware of that, it's a much easier journey to accept the pain and to accept the uncomfortableness, because you start seeing that, like you said, clearing, I think, is, I like what you said about it. Clearing is kind of the idea of, oh, I need to get this out of me because it's tainted and I'm not. But integrating is saying unconditionally loving. You know, there's nothing that can hurt me. The taint can't hurt me. The toxicity can't hurt me. The hatred can't hurt me. The shame can't hurt me, because it was just part of the experience of the dissension. And now that we're in the ascension, it's coming home. Go ahead.
Yeah, and it's honoring that experience that
exactly.
your soul needed to experience for whatever
yes.
reason.
Yes.
And
yes.
also for it's part of the ancestral lineage clearing,
yeah.
healing.
Yes.
And and that, I don't know, then I think, wow, then we're changing the past.
Yes.
Ooh,
right
that brings
on.
Me back to that. Us being our future selves in this life, coming here at this time period to do something to change the direction we're going. And so as we, and I'm just going to use the word clear again.
Okay, that's cool.
Pain or clear the false beliefs.
That's
that
it, has right
been
there.
Accumulated.
Yeah.
By humanity
yeah.
and influence
yeah.
to be here, that is actually, wouldn't that be changing energies and situations in other timelines?
Yeah.
And maybe that's what the new Earth actually is being created while this is happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it's a different timeline, right? Where, yeah. Yeah. Did you ever see the movie Inception?
Oh, who was in it? It sounds really familiar.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yes.
He's one of my faves.
Did.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I literally, the first time I saw that movie when it ended, I watched it literally back to back because I went, oh my God, is that movie chock filled with wisdom that
yeah.
I don't even know what the hell's happening, but I want to know what the hell is happening. And, you know, this whole idea of, you know, timelines, because, like, I'm starting to get an understanding because I've done some integration. It's very much like, you know, the schizophrenics and the multiple personalities. We literally, the veils are the aspects that were compartmentalized, including lifetimes, so they didn't interact with each other, but the unification of ourselves is about the removal of these dividers. So we are literally going through, you know, it's like a global experience of what Sybil went through, you know, as the famous multiple. And and that's what Inception was about, you know, collapsing timelines. Because, like, I had a hint recently. I had wondered, like in Lord of the Rings and The Matrix, which are two very, in my humble opinion, very archetypical, symbolic movies of the times we're living in. My question
yeah.
was, a couple of years ago, why, or maybe last year, why do the main characters live? Like, why is it the ones that are on the mission, you know, during all these battle scenes, why do they always live? And I actually got my answer, and I would love to share it because it just feels like the time to share it.
Yeah.
And George Kavassalis talks about the difference between law, L-A-W, and lore, L-O-R-E. And he says that L-A-W is the artificial rules that man has put on life. That L-O-R-E is the organic and the soul's natural progression and unfolding of our of this experience. And when he said that in a recent interview, it totally clicked that when people are connected to their soul, living their soul purpose, you can't die because you're going to do something that has already been determined by the L-O-R-E. Because we're not third-dimensional beings. We haven't incarnated in these bodies. We are the projection of our fifth-dimensional incarnation. We are the projection of our souls. We think, when in the veil of separation, we think we're not connected to it, so we've thought L-A-W was the rules of the land. But this integration is about, it's the L-O-R-E, and when you're connected to your L-O-R-E, you know you're not going to die until your whatever it is you came to do gets done. And then when you're done, you're very happy to go, okay, I can leave. You know, it's almost like you can just sit down, close your eyes, and go. Or if you want to go out in a big bang, you know, like there's a big tsunami, you know, meaning it's because the key about everything is not whether you live or you die. It's about that awareness when you're connected to your L-O-R-E, the lore of who you are, because lore trumps L-A-W every time. And it's like, because I know I'm supposed to do something in 2012. And I have a tremendous sense that it has something to do with this radio show. This, excuse me, and my Monday night show. But it has to do with speaking and sharing, you know, and just being Goldie. I mean, really, it's not, I don't need to take classes to do this. I don't have to, you know, I can be, you know, a little skitsy, a little, you know, out of order when I tell my stories. All of that is just perfect because my fifth dimensional being has already planned this contract, so to speak. And once I know that, that's what gives me the strength and the tenacity to go in the choppy waters with certain relationships. Because I'm not afraid. At this point, I know I'm connected. I know I'm supposed to be here. So now I can go in choppy waters with the sense of, Like Janine always says to me, you're protected. And I'm like, I know. Isn't that the wildest thing? I don't think I'm protected from an outside being. This is not an archangel. This is not, you know, a guardian angel. It's me. It's me. Another, like you said, it's my future self, my expanded self. Because my expanded self has contracted that I have something to do. And I have explored drugs and you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, where I have come very, very, very close to death, whether by my own hand in an overdose or, you know, in a situation that I'm in, a very a violent situation, and I've always come out of it. And it's like, so why have I always come out of it? Well, because in this particular lifetime, and I don't believe I'm special in this. I believe all of us have this purpose, and however it's supposed to unfold, when you connect to it, I became the space around my life that went, oh, that's why. And I just know that, okay, I'm not going anywhere, you know. And I've been suicidal pretty much my entire life, which I'm assuming on some level you resonate with, just from the idea of you were a woman before your time. I mean, you awakened in the 70s and 80s when clearly, you know, society wasn't welcoming you with open arms. You know, it was a challenge to be here. So,
yeah, I had those, what the hell am I doing here?
Right.
I don't belong here.
When I say suicide, right, well, because suicide to me isn't about, you know, I won't say it's not from victim. It is from victim, but it's really about, I'm not supposed to be here. Okay? I got dropped here. The stork hiccuped and dropped me in Fairfield County, USA. I mean, I was supposed to be in Fairbanks, Alaska, hanging out with the Inuits, doing some spiritual work, and they put me on the Beverly Hills of the East Coast. I swear there's a mistake in the paperwork here. I'm not supposed to be here. And now when it's so funny, where there are more people than ever who from the masses who are experiencing what I would consider, you know, thoughts of I'm not supposed to be here, you know, a lot of people in financial distraught or just the dark night of the soul distraught, they're suicidal. Where now me, I'm for the first time in my life going, oh, yeah, no, I'm supposed to be here and I'm cool.
Yeah.
All right, let's get the show on the road. You know, how bizarre. So I wanted to share that, though, because that it finally clicked to me that when you have purpose, it's almost like you're going to do it, and you're going to be protected to do it. And it's not going to come on a cakewalk. It's, you know, God, look at Sam and Frodo. It was not exactly a cakewalk getting that ring. Oh, I am buzzing right now. but it will get done. You know, I have true confidence that whatever my purpose is, I'm here to do it. And the people, my cluster, is showing up for in support of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so now it's like, oh, our time has come finally. You know,
yeah.
And a lot of us I know are like still kind of waiting for, well, I think something's going to happen. When is it going to happen? Like, let's get the show on the road, kind of. But, you know,
yeah,
it is happening. And
yeah,
then I just hear, be careful what you ask for.
Yes.
But in the meantime, it's like, yeah, I do feel, you know, my sense of purpose in being here now. I don't really have those kind of thoughts or feelings anymore that, you know, that I agree that I thought of them, well, these are like suicidal thoughts. I don't really intend to go do myself in. I would, you know,
right,
never make that choice. And sometimes it would like, well, I won't make that choice because my family will be so upset. It wasn't like I was doing it for myself, because I've seen, you know, how those kind of decisions reverberate.
Yes.
And that's not pretty.
Yes.
But
yes, I agree with that as well.
But even just thinking, like, I don't want to be here anymore, it's like, wow, you know, I could make myself really sick if I continue doing that. And then the exit door will show up. And, whoa, no, I think I have a mission, and I don't want to go in that direction. So I have much more of a sense of belonging and being on the right track now than I ever have. And that's like this image of being on the beam, like being in this beam of light as my path has been really, you know, coming up to me lately. And I've had this, you know, memory of how, you know, many years ago I knew there was a beam out there and I wasn't on it, my own personal beam I'm talking about. And it's like, oh, it's just a little adjustment, like a little to the left or something. And little did I know, but now I'm getting this just now, that at that time I was making that adjustment in my trajectory.
Yes.
You know, like if you turn like 1 degree, eventually way out there, you're going to be totally in another place than you would have been if you'd stayed in that same, you know, so that just makes me want to, you know, give myself a little pat on the back, like I was going in the right direction all along.
And I remember having an argument with this person who was a teacher for me at the time, because he kept telling me I'm going off my path, and I'm like, it's impossible.
Exactly.
You can't go off your path, not if
nope.
you have the intention. And, you know, he was basically wanting me to quit doing any kind of job for money and just do Reiki. And it's like, well, the people aren't lining up for Reiki, and, you know, I need to eat, so, and pay the rent and all that. So, you know, there's got to be, like, well, then if you quit your job, it'll show up. And it's like, you know, I wasn't willing to go there, and maybe it would have, maybe not, but I don't know. That
I would trust the path you took. I would trust the path. You know, we really don't have free will. We think we have free will. We don't have free will.
Well, wait, why do you say that? I thought...
I say that free will... Oh, let me put it... Free will is a third-dimensional perspective. I have surrendered to my soul's will, and but that's even just... In order for me to change my beliefs so that I'm in harmony with my soul, I have to change what we talked about earlier before we came on the air. I have to change my brain waves and, you know, the neurological pathways. But the truth is that those neurological pathways are going to change maybe through a car accident. Maybe I'm going to, you know, bang my head around and become amnesic and have to relive. In other words, one way or another, my lore is going to get me to be who I'm supposed to be. Now, it can happen, and I'm not totally sure on this. Maybe it can happen because I choose it to happen, and if I don't choose it to happen, then maybe it'll happen without me choosing it to happen, but... See, I guess it's the paradox of understanding different dimensions and different levels have different truths that are contradicting to each other. And in our ability to know ourselves multidimensionally, I can totally accept personally without fear that I don't have free will. Now, but if you talk to somebody who's deathly afraid of mind control and say, you don't have free will, they're going to freak out that the alien agenda has taken their free will. You know what I'm saying? It's a game of presence, because the more presence I have, and that to me equates to being being all space, not just being point A and point B, but being all the space in between as well, you know, that like oneness quality, that you can live paradoxically comfortably. You're not struggling in the paradox, but you're accepting the paradox. And as I accept the paradox, it's blending and unifying in a way that is, it's not light and it's not dark, but it's an illumination of both. Well, I know I'm telepathic with you right now, because I don't normally speak like that.
Wow.
I'm getting that from you, your wisdom that you're sharing with me in your presence. So, did that
Except
make
that
sense?
I'm like tuning into this concept of free will, because I've always understood that this is a free will universe, and it's all about free will, and then I'm hearing that we do have free will, and that, but it's like our soul has, we have like a soul intention, and
right.
This is that expanded self. And
right.
then I'm seeing myself as coming down into this life on earth, and it's like layer upon layer upon layer of stuff is here, you know, belief systems, the dark cabal, and it's like I feel like, oh, I'm like at the bottom of the ocean with these weight of fathoms of layers of influence that's here, and yet within all of that is this soul's journey that is I don't know, like guiding us or like prompting us to I don't know, move forward and to, I just, like, all this information is coming in at once. It's like,
Nice. Okay, yeah, indeed.
And
so, breathe it in and allow it to integrate. Well, it's
so,
like,
yeah, we have all these influences that we, and we've come here to rise up through it and bring the light with us up through those influences till we come, I don't know, back out to the top, and maybe that's the journey into the fifth dimension.
Well, and according to George Kavassalis, the journey into the fifth dimension is we are birthing ourselves as Homo Illuminis. Like, that's the next
I love
stage
that.
Of
I remember
humanity.
Him saying that.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, it's so interesting because, like, when me and Punky met and had our wonderful talk by the reservoir, it's like I've been going on all these interviews where I'm meeting new people, and I'm in observer mode as I'm having these interviews with people, and I can see that a light kind of lights up, But then it kind of goes away because they're not hiring me. And yet, when I had this conversation with Punky, I could see the light lit up, and there was, it was like the soul connection that we had really lets me know. It's like in what I just shared, it's like it's not that I can't meet soul people. It's almost like my soul is not radiating this magnetic thing through me when I'm going for these job interviews. And in all honesty, I mean, in my 20-plus year tenure as being a nanny, I've got the stats, I've got the references. I'm a great nanny. Now, I admit, a couple of jobs I lost because I started exposing Golden Hawk maybe a little more than they were prepared for. You know, in other words, the shamanic, integrated, extraterrestrial kind of gal. I threw them a little, you know, they were a little tilted when, you know, Mary Poppins and E.T. showed up to their door. and they really didn't know what the hell to do with me. But it's like there was a time in my life when it was time to get a job, because that's what time it was, I would go and I would get a job. You know, and it's like there was never – I didn't have any issues. And so one of the things that I'm noticing is I might have an issue right now connecting with, quote-unquote, people that are looking for a nanny, but I'm not having an issue, quote, connecting with people that are on a soulful journey of – sovereignty and a soulful journey of, you know, really wanting to be responsible for who they are, express who they are, and be authentic in that expression. And I'm not saying I'm meeting hundreds of these people, but you, Janine, Punky, Simon, you know, I'm really getting a nice little cluster here, and I can't deny that. You know, it's like, because once I see the soul at work, I know that the soul is directing this whole game. I mean, my soul is, and I just have to trust if they don't want me connected with that family, okay, I trust that. My journey wasn't supposed to dance with that family. You know what I'm saying? And it helps me to have more trust, because I guess it's kind of being connected in the multi-dimensions as opposed to just seeing the dimension of rejection. I'm not seeing it that way. I'm seeing, oh, phew, you know, I don't have to go that turbulent road. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, you know, because any roads that I don't need to go down anymore, I'm happy not to go down anymore.
Right. And you won't be.
And I won't.
Able
right.
to go down.
Exactly. That's that protection thing. Exactly. Exactly.
And it's also, it's like this choice of like, from moment to moment, these choices are there. It's like everything is so fast now. And I had that moment today. Like, I had some time today to do some artwork, and I ended up doing a drawing that was I'm creating a gift for my nephew who got married last summer, and it's like I want to give them a painting, and it's like taking too long to do the painting, so I'm like, oh, maybe I'll do like a pastel drawing. And I really felt like doing this other drawing, but I did something that I thought was going to be for him and his wife, and it was just boring. And then I just felt annoyed, and then it came to me, I didn't follow the energy. I didn't really do the thing I wanted to do. I felt like I have to do this, or I should do this.
Right.
And it's like, wow, even that just a small choice in a moment of the day, it's not that small of a choice, really. It's like,
exactly,
it's just not going to work.
Yeah.
Can't force anything, you know. It's like,
exactly. Exactly. And the more we're in tune with the subtle, the more we'll see there's lots of stuff working. It's really the old stuff that's not working.
Exactly.
There's lots of new stuff working. I mean, it really is. And if we're attuned to it, you know, it becomes that natural progression of, you know, embody the new, let go a little of the old. And, you know, I'm not manifesting by chasing anymore. I mean, it's going to come to me. And it's funny because me and Janine will joke, you know, every show we'll have something that we laugh about. And, you know, the next thing we know is, you know, like one day I talked about eating a lot of sugar and cakes in my diet. And I was like, oh, maybe Entenmann's will sponsor us. And like on another show, we talked about being nuts and walnuts and coconuts. And I was like, oh, maybe Diamond Walnuts will sponsor. But I'm realizing I'm just playing. I'm playing lighthearted, laughter, joy. And the truth is, I can't wait to make the announcement, because I just know in my soul that is the way of creation right now. That lightheartedness, joyful, childlike sense of just laughing about it and not being attached to it and not forcing it, just breathe and giggling and having fun and trusting, and it'll just show up.
Yeah, and having that lightness makes room for whatever it is to show up.
Exactly.
Having that lightness around you, you know.
Yes. Yeah, so we're almost at the top of the hour.
Oh, we forgot about the question.
No, we didn't forget. Nobody called in. It was about me and you tonight, my friend, and I loved it.
Oh, is that how it works? Okay.
Exactly. I mean, if a caller called in, I would have said something, but nobody called in. It was kind of our they followed the energy. We wanted to talk, and we got to talk, so I love it. I love when things just work out beautifully. So, Well, and I'm going to talk to you privately, because I would like to make a proposition with you, but I'll do it privately. But I want you to give out your contact information and where people can find you and you know, learn more about you or potentially work with you. And
It's soultransitions.com. And my email address is a contact area where you get my email address there if you want to send me an email or something. And I have the services that I provide in helping to clear the Akashic records, which I think really is something that definitely influences changing the energies of timelines. Because if I'm doing this work in the Akashic records, clearing people from other lifetime issues and energies, then the people that they were associated with in those other lifetimes have an opportunity to receive this clearing in some way. And then I think, wow, those time periods must be shifting. And maybe the new Earth, we won't even remember that there was ever such a thing as an Inquisition, or, you know, it won't even be in our soul memory because it never existed. Wow.
Right on. I think there's something to that. Absolutely. Yeah.
So soultransitions.com, and there's like the Vibe Report is free. You can subscribe to it there. And
And your Monday night call, how can they get a hold of you for that?
Yep, there's a meditation link on the website. I do this Monday night channeled meditation, and so my guides come in and they do exactly that. I guide us into a receptive place, and then the guides come in and they have a message, and then we'll assist in doing some kind of meditation, usually like the clearing integration thing is what came through last night in this group that I did, and it's very similar to the phone thing. And I send the recording to you so you can listen to it again. A lot of times people kind of go zone out, and they say they fell asleep, but they really were in more of a theta state.
Nice, theta. I know that's the yes. Very good. Yeah. Now, is that, can they connect with you on that from the website, or is that a separate space?
That's on my website too. There's a link to click to, and again, you can always email me with any questions about that or about how anything works.
Mm-hmm. And Facebook.
Yes, Facebook. Nancy Ward on Facebook.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Nancy. You're not only an amazing fill-in, you stand on your own. You you do. Are you around tomorrow, like during the day?
I'll be in and out, but I think I'll want to talk to you in a little while if you can.
Oh, tonight? Okay. Are you up for tonight?
Be on the phone anymore? Yeah.
Okay, be on the phone, is that what you said, or tomorrow? I didn't.
If you can stand to be on the phone for
beautiful. Okay, in fact, give me 5 minutes after the show ends. I just want to write a little blog up about our write-up, and definitely call me back.
Or you call me when you're done.
I'll call you when I'm done. Perfect. Okay.
Thank you so much, everybody,
for being here tonight. You're incredible. Thank you, everybody. Have an amazing evening, and Monday night will be the Mystical Mother Earth Show with me and Janine, and I hope everybody has a fabulous weekend. All right, there's much love here. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
You've been experiencing Another Reality Show with Golden Hawk. Another Reality Show is live Thursdays 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, or listen and be enlightened anytime that works for you. Questions or comments, email the show, goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. That's goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. Also, visit us on the web at www.anotherrealityshow.com. Remember, all you rule breakers, misfits, troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists, everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what is right with you. You see things others don't. You're hardwired to change the world. And unlike 9 out of 10 people, your mind is irrepressible and you were born to be a revolutionary. And here at Another Reality Show, we salute you. Stay amazing and keep on flying. Good night.